What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and I'm delighted to be joined by the brilliant Vittorio Campanile. As always, Vittorio, how are you, my friend?
I'm very fine, thanks. I'm very well, thank you, especially after yesterday.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Before we get into some of this weekend's games, because there were some really big games in Serie A, there was a lot of movement in the table. So there's plenty for us to get our teeth into over the next sort of 30 to 40 minutes. But I want to start off by asking you a little bit about the fallout from the Super League, because of course the last episode we recorded was when we just heard about it. We were both quite upset about it. We both thought it was terrible for the game of football. And since then, we've seen the Super League collapse. What's the mood like in Italy around it? Is this, I know you said to me at the time that there wasn't as big a reaction in Italy as there was here in the UK, but what's the feeling around this whole Super League thing now that the dust has settled?
Well, the thing is that all the English clubs have left, but Juventus is still there, right? And Milan as well. So there is a big interest in here because yesterday, for example, the Italian Federation set up a law that if you are doing a Super League or creating a private league, then you're not allowed to play in Serie A. Just as what UEFA said, right, last week. So yeah, there's a big question mark. What's going to happen to Juventus and Milan next year? Are they going to play in the Serie A or what's going to happen? Because they're still in. They said that it's not going to start, but they still didn't leave. So there's a huge question mark. And unfortunately, here in Italy, we talk a lot about money. And so there's a lot of involvement talking about, you know, Juventus' financial balance is awful. And this year is going to be even worse thanks to COVID-19. So the question here people are asking is, okay, where is Juventus going to get the money? The reason why they did the Super League is pretty much that. So they're debating about the money of these clubs, how it's important for this club to get money to don't collapse in a couple of years, more than is it really useful, the Super League, to save football. So there are a lot of question marks, as you maybe may know, that the Agnelli position is a little bit on hold because there were rumors that inside Juventus, they weren't happy about what he did about the Super League. And so he already left his position in the Italian Federation, obviously, and in UEFA. Now there are question marks that he could leave his position at Juventus because this was a terrible publicity, let's call it like that, for a huge club, very important club like Juventus. So I think still pieces have to fall, and the next weeks will be more important to see what these two clubs that are still in the Super League will do.
Absolutely. There's still plenty. You feel like this story is not quite dead yet, and there's plenty more to come. Absolutely. Let's have a look back at some of the weekend's games. And there were, as I said, some really big games. And one of the big ones in particular was the game between Lazio and Milan. Of course, Lazio running out 3-0 winners, Joaquin Correa with a brace and Ciro Immobile putting the cherry on the top at the end of this one to seal the points for Lazio. It was a really, really big win for Simone Inzaghi's side. And of course, Inzaghi returning to the touchline. Yep. After a few weeks out with COVID. How big is this win for Lazio, and were they deserving of it?
Well, it was a final. It was really a final for Lazio. Lazio could only win this match to keep the hope of the Champions League alive. It's still very difficult. Lazio is 5 points behind, has a match on hold. They have to play against Torino, probably will be play at half May, so a long time till Lazio recover that match. But really, Lazio had to win this match, and they did. Now, the biggest question mark I have, Harry, is did Lazio win because they played very well or because Milan was terrible? Because, to be honest with you, Lazio lost heavily last week against Napoli, and Napoli's playing amazing football. Napoli's really playing really, really well. On the other side, Milan is dropping a lot of points. They lost against Sassuolo. Now they lost badly against Lazio. So Lazio deserved to win. Now, I don't know if we're going to talk about the second goal. I think the ref made a mistake there. But even without that, Lazio probably would have won the match. Milan didn't convince me. And we are seeing a huge difference. Last year, beginning of the season, Milan was terrific. They were top of the league. They were scoring a lot of goals, playing great football. Now, in the last couple of months, Milan is really struggling. And Lazio simply took advantage of that. And every time Correa plays against Milan, he's terrific. He scores every time. So that's another big advantage for Lazio. But yeah, now the Scudetto race is over, let's be honest. But the Champions League fight is simply amazing because now we have Atalanta, Napoli, Juventus, Milan, Lazio, all fighting for this. And there are a couple of teams that are playing great football, like Atalanta and Napoli, and other two that probably a couple of weeks ago we would say they are ready in the Champions League, like Milan and Juventus, that are really struggling. And now there's a big risk that one of these two will drop out of the Champions League.
Absolutely. And as you say, it's really hotting up. There's 7 points that separate second placed Atalanta and Lazio in sixth. So there's plenty to play for. You touched on that second goal that Lazio scored. And I, you know, for those of you who haven't seen it, there appeared to be a foul on Calhanoglu in the build up to that goal. Vittorio, for a moment, take your Lazio hat off. Do you think that it should have been pulled back for a foul?
Well, even with the Lazio hat on, I tend to be very correct. And I thought, seeing the replay, it was a foul. And has to say that Lazio was really unlucky because at the end of the first half, Lazio scored and the goal was disallowed because an offside that really 1 millimeter, probably, I don't know. And even the second goal, there is this tackle with Leiva. It looks like Leiva touches the ball, but for me, it looks like he touched only Calhanoglu. The weird thing is that the ref says plays on, allow the goal, then goes back and he's called by the VAR, goes and check the VAR. And at that point, for me, it's clear it's a foul, right? Instead, he go back and give Lazio the goal. I don't know what happened, honestly. But for me, it should have been disallowed, unfortunately, because it's for Lazio. But yeah, honestly, it would be really interesting to know what Orsato, that was the ref, thought about that. Because if you go and rewatch it, then it's a clear foul for me.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I've seen it, and I agree with you that it was a foul, and Milan can feel very hard done by. But just going back to Milan, because you talked about the fact that they've struggled in recent months, and they really, really have. I mean, we were talking about them challenging for the Scudetto earlier in the campaign. Yeah. I know we, in particular, were very cautious about, you know, the fact that actually at this moment in time, Milan are overachieving. So Definitely. If they drop off and they still, you know, finish in the top four, I don't think anybody would have, you know, really made an issue of it. But now they find themselves in fifth, Vittorio, because Napoli and Atalanta, as you say, and we'll come on to talk about those in a minute, have really picked up their form. But Milan are in danger now of missing out on the top four. And if they were to miss out on the top four, I know that's not a long way. Fifth is not a long way from where people expected them to be. But having been in the position they were, it would feel like like they've self-destructed, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I think all Milan fans would be happier to finish fifth. But now, after, you know, you were first, you have been second for very long. I remember Milan fans a couple of weeks ago said, yeah, we are safe. And now they're out and they're struggling. And one of the biggest issue I have is that in the second half yesterday, Milan was down and they didn't create a single chance. Ibrahimovic didn't play yesterday. And you can really feel that a number nine is missing there. Mandzukic has played the last two matches, but he's not fit. He's not good anymore. It's not the Mandzukic everybody remembers. Against Lazio, he had a couple of chances in the first half and then pretty much disappeared. And with Ibrahimovic struggling between red cards, injury, and lack of performance, because we have to be honest, in the last couple of months, Ibra didn't play as well as in last year. And at the moment, Milan doesn't have a backup number nine. They thought Mandzukic could have been then, but we said it in the podcast, right?
Yep.
In the last year or so, Mandzukic played like a couple of matches in South Arabia that is not the same level of European football. And you see it. He in the second half, he was knackered. He couldn't run at all. And then Pioli took him off and put in Leao. Leao is a good player, but again, he's not a number nine. He's a winger more than a number nine. And in football, you can play great football, but you have to score. At the end of the day, if you score, you have a chance to win. And Milan now, it's really, really struggling to score. They have been really lucky against Genoa a couple of weeks ago. But yesterday, they didn't create nothing in the second half. So that's the biggest problem. Not only they are not playing great football, but they're lacking a striker that scores.
Yeah, absolutely. They're really a shadow of the side that we saw earlier on in the season. And of course, it's worrying times for Pioli, because he was on the verge of getting AC Milan back into the Champions League. And you felt as though only a huge meltdown would deny them that. And it feels as though that meltdown is coming, unfortunately. Let's move on to Napoli. We've mentioned them just sort of briefly in passing, and the fact that they've obviously really picked up their form. It was a 2-0 win at Torino. Of course, Torino were in need of the points as they continue to fight off relegation. But for Napoli, this was all about pushing for the Champions League. Bakayoko and Osimhen were the goal scorers for Gattuso's side. And, you know, we know that they've been playing very well of late, and we know that they've, you know, hit a bit of an upward curve. Just looking, you know, they've only lost one of their last five matches, Napoli, so they are on the right path. But it seemed earlier on in the season that Gattuso was headed for the exit door, and we're now seeing reports this morning that he's reconsidering his position. He's reconsidering the idea of potentially staying at Napoli. What's changed for Gattuso? Why has he gone from zero to hero in the space of a few weeks?
Well, Napoli's form has certainly made a big impact. I think the biggest thing is he got back all his players. Napoli had a lot of injury during the season. And as we said at the beginning of the season, Napoli could have been a Scudetto contender, especially if you see the team from midfield onwards. They have plenty of options. Bakayoko didn't start in the last couple of months. Now he's starting and he scored. Mertens is back. Osimhen is back. They have Insigne, Politano, and so on. They have plenty of talent there. So for me, the biggest question mark is why Napoli didn't fight for the Scudetto? Because especially the year when Juventus is playing badly, I thought they had a chance. The problem with Napoli is De Laurentiis is a little bit crazy. It's difficult to cope with an owner like that.
That's an understatement.
I wanted to be nice, honestly. And we know that Gattuso is a sort of man of honor, right? So if I think the relationship is quite complicated between De Laurentiis and Gattuso. There were rumors that De Laurentiis could sack Gattuso a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. Obviously, now it's not possible because Napoli is playing great football. And if they reach the Champions League, I don't see how De Laurentiis could sack Gattuso. Could Gattuso leave? Yes. But at the moment, I don't think this is possible. Why? Because I don't think any big team will be looking for a manager. Conte is safe at Inter. Inzaghi is not moving from Lazio. Pirlo could leave, but I don't think Juventus is thinking about Gattuso. So, you know, I think it makes sense to Gattuso to stay there. And with the Champions League money back, I mean, Napoli could improve this team and really fight for the Scudetto next year.
Yeah, absolutely. They could indeed. And you mentioned Andrea Pirlo there. And of course, Juve were held to a 1-1 draw at Fiorentina. There are reports doing the rounds today that, and they might have been doing the rounds yesterday as well. But there's reports that he could lose his job if Juventus fail to beat Udinese next weekend. Do you think that Andrea Pirlo is at that point now where it's kind of do or die?
Well, the sport director before the match against Fiorentina said Pirlo will be our manager if we qualify for the Champions League. So the question mark is, what happens if he doesn't qualify for the Champions League? Which at the moment could happen because Atalanta and Napoli are flying. So I think if Juventus doesn't reach the Champions League, Pirlo is gone. And again, we talked about Agnelli at the beginning of this podcast, and this is another mistake of Andrea Agnelli. Since Agnelli took charge of Juventus, he made a couple of huge mistakes, and now we see the results. I don't think Andrea Pirlo was ready for Juventus, and he's proving it. Iachini, the Fiorentina manager, is not one of the best managers in Italy, but won the tactical match against Pirlo, and this tells you that there's a problem there. Juventus, again, was very lucky. And again, I think that Pirlo is not good enough to manage Juventus. He should start from third division, something like that. There have been rumors that Agnelli had a dinner with Allegri. So for me, Allegri is going to come back to Juventus this summer. I would do it even if Juventus reached the Champions League qualification, in my opinion, because Pirlo simply proved to not be a manager for that level of team. Allegri make a lot of sense. So for me, Pirlo has no chance of staying. And the fear I have is that the players know that, and they don't follow the manager anymore like they did at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, there's only so much a great player can sort of take with him as a manager in terms of commanding a respect. When the team see that it's not working, they lose interest very quickly, don't they? And for Juventus, it's been the case all season. They've been very up and down. They've been very inconsistent, which is something that you wouldn't associate with Juventus over the last 10 years. So to see them now in this position is obviously...
And even the investment of Cristiano Ronaldo is not paying off. He didn't score in the last four matches. He's been struggling a lot. So, you know, you put a lot of money there. Again, we talked about AC Milan that doesn't have a real number nine without Ibrahimovic. Morata is the only number nine that Juventus has. I'm not sure Morata is at the level of Juventus. It's not the right number nine for Juventus. So, you know, they were relying on Cristiano Ronaldo scoring a lot of goals to make up the absence of a real number nine. And now Cristiano Ronaldo is struggling. He's not young. He's getting older. You cannot pretend that he could keep that level up all season long. Dybala has been struggling. So you see, there are a lot of transfer market mistakes that now are catching up. And if you add this to a manager that is not good enough, then, you know, it's difficult. Milan and Juventus have a tough fixture. They're going to play in a couple of weeks, I think. The 9th of May, there is Juventus-Milan. So, you know, that could be a turning point for both teams. Who lose that match could be out of the Champions League.
Yeah, huge game coming up. And of course, we'll be keeping across that right here on Simply Serie A. Atalanta, they blew away Bologna this weekend. And Atalanta doing what Atalanta do, basically, which is going out on the field, playing an exciting, enthralling brand of football, absolutely battering their opponents. The goals were from Malinovsky, Muriel, Frula, Zapata and Miranchuk. There's nothing I'd like to see more than Giampiero Gasperini qualify for the Champions League again, because every year people say Atalanta are going to fall away. They can't possibly maintain this, yet they're doing it. And right now, Vittorio, they sit second in the Serie A. That is some feat. And there's just not enough positive things, I don't think, to say about Gasperini and the job he's done at Atalanta.
And the thing is, every year you hear people saying they will not make it this year. And instead, they do better because 3 years ago, they arrived fourth. Last year, third. This year, they will arrive second. I'll tell you now. I'm sure about that. So, you know, they're not only confirming, they're doing better, which is simply unbelievable. We talked about money. Atalanta hasn't got the same amount of money of Juventus, Milan, Inter, and they're doing much better than these teams. Well, not Inter this year, but Milan and Juve definitely, Rome as well. So, Muriel, he's playing terrific football. We said that without Gomez, they would lose something, but Zapata and Muriel are making up for the absence of Gomez. We have to say something. Before the first goal of Atalanta, Bologna was playing great football and they wasted so many chances. As soon as Atalanta scored the first, the match was over. They scored another one immediately and Atalanta started dominating the match. Atalanta is a team that plays amazing football. When they attack, they are very dangerous. They can score on different ways, but they allow you a couple of chances every match. But at this point, they are probably the best team in Italy. They're playing great football. And yeah, I think they will definitely finish second for me.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see them finish in second. As you say, it will be another step forward, wouldn't it, for Atalanta. Let's move on to the game between Cagliari and Roma. Roma, of course, suffering a 3-2 defeat. Big, big win for Cagliari, who are down at the bottom of the table. They're in 17th place. They're level on points with Benevento, who are in 18th, which is, of course, the last relegation position. So this was a big, big game for Cagliari. You know, they benefited from the fact that Torino lost as well, which is obviously good for them. Benevento also losing, of course, as well. But it really feels to me like, and I understand it, but it feels to me like Roma are now all in on the Europa League. And of course, they're in the semi-finals. They take on Manchester United in that. And is that reflecting in their performances in the Serie A for you?
Definitely, definitely. I think it's the last three matches, at least, we saw this. Before the second leg against Ajax, Fonseca put all the subs in the Serie A match. So I think this is a problem. I think this is a big mistake because it's on football. You cannot switch off and on when you want. You have to keep playing to win because if you lose that mentality, now that next Thursday you have to switch it on because you have to beat Manchester United, it could be hard to switch on and think, okay, this match we have to win, the other one we can lose it. So this is a problem. The other thing is putting all your eggs in one basket could be really dangerous. So Roma at the moment are out of the Champions League. Not only losing against Cagliari, now there's a huge risk. They're out of everything if they don't win the Europa League. So, you know, this is a huge risk. On the other side, you're playing against a team like Cagliari that has to win to keep the hope of staying in the Serie A alive. And that's what I think makes the biggest difference in modern football is the mentality, how you play. If you're playing for win or, you know, your head is already to the next match. And that's why Cagliari won against Roma. And this, again, could be a big risk. Next weekend, there is Benevento-Milan. Benevento is fighting for avoid relegation, so it's another tough match for Milan. But relegation fight is really exciting. But I think it's a little bit unlucky that team like Roma are not focused anymore on Serie A because like this, Cagliari that maybe could have lost against Roma, they won quite easily. And now they are, you know, not safe, but they got three very, very important points.
Absolutely, they did indeed. It's a massive 3 points for Cagliari. Let's just briefly touch on Inter. I'm just, you know, we talk a lot about Inter on the show, and that's why I wanted to start with the other sides. But it was a typical Antonio Conte game, wasn't it? You know, leaving it quite late and nicking the goal and being resolute, if not brilliant.
Yes, Verona is a little bit like Atalanta, I would say, with less talent, but Juric, the manager, has the same mentality, the same type of football of Gasperini, and you can see it every time they play. So Verona put Inter in a lot of pressure. There have been a lot of rumors here in Italy about the goal that they disallowed to Verona. They say it wasn't a foul. Basically, Handanovic went out to grab the ball. He had a tackle. He was pushed a little bit with Faraone, the Verona winger, and the ball went in, and the ref said after VAR he cancelled the goal. I'm not sure about that, but this tells you that Verona put Inter in danger. Inter is not playing great football, but to score against them is quite complicated. It's really, really hard. Even though Handanovic, we have to say, is not playing at his best. I think this summer, Inter probably will look for a better goalkeeper, because Handanovic made a couple of mistakes this season. I remember last week against Napoli, again against Verona, he wasn't perfect. But still, Inter has so many quality players that can decide the match. And especially seeing that your opponent, I'm thinking about Juventus and Milan, that was the team that should have been fighting with Inter for the Scudetto, are struggling. This gives you extra energy. So that's why I think Inter is winning, because they're seeing that the other teams are struggling. This gives you extra boost and they find a way to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And Inter taking another big step towards the Scudetto, their first one in over a decade. It's when they get over the line. Yeah. Let's quickly round up the results from week 33. Atalanta 5, Bologna 0, Benevento 2, Udinese 4, Cagliari 3, Roma 2, Fiorentina 1, Juventus 1, Genoa 2, Spezia 0, Inter 1, Verona 0, Lazio 3, Milan 0, Parma 3, Crotone 4, Sassuolo 1, Sampdoria 0, Torino 0, Napoli 2. Just before we go, Vittorio, Parma are just most unluckiest team in the world. It kills me, because I've got a soft spot for Parma. And when you see, you know, the way that things have sort of panned out for them in the last few weeks, you can't help but feel pain for them.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable, really. You know, in football, there are those type of years that you can do anything and still you're going to lose. And this is what happened with Parma. They go ahead 2-0, they lose 3-2. They go ahead 3-0, they lose 4-3 at the last second. You know, it's simply unbelievable. Again, we said it so often. This team is not that bad. They shouldn't be there. Instead, they're going down this year. There's nothing to do. And every week, they find a new way to lose. They change manager. It didn't help. They play great football and then they are a disaster in defense. I don't know what to say. It's simply unbelievable. I'm wondering if you are going to talk about Serie B next year, so you are able to talk about Parma.
Yeah, but maybe. Yeah. We'll change the name of the podcast. It's simply Serie A /B.
But yeah, I mean, Crotone, it's another team fighting for relegation. They are tough to beat, but, you know, again, Parma find new way to lose, and D'Aversa changed a little bit the lineup. Gervinho didn't start. Then he came in, he scored, etc. And still they find way to lose. And I think they have no chance at the moment. So,
yeah, no, they're gone for me. But my heart hurts every time I see them turn in these performances where they score goals, but then they just undo it all at the back. So, yeah, disappointing to see. But, of course, we move forward and we're going to be back with another show perhaps later on in the week. Make sure you all stay safe. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're new, make sure you smash the like button as well. Leave us a review if you could, and make sure you give Vittorio a follow as well. I'll leave his handle, in the description. Vittorio, how can people find the Lazio Lounge podcast?
Well, you can follow Lazio Lounge on Twitter, on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. You just type Lazio Lounge and, you know, every time Lazio play, there is a new podcast.
There you go. Make sure you head over and check it out. And I'm sure you'd have caught Vittorio in a very good mood on the one following yesterday's game. We'll be back very, very soon with more Simply Serie A. Until then, take care. Ciao.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.